everybody. Welcome to Working Weather Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and I can't believe that we're coming into our next school year. It's coming so quickly. You know, it feels like we just got this summer rolling, and I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as we have. It's been such an amazing time to spend with our kids and have those vacations that we spent so much time planning and really connect. You know, you get to stay up a little bit later. You get to do those things that you don't normally get to do. And I really hope that we've all had a chance to make the most of it and create those memories that we'll cherish for the rest of our lives with our kids. And going back to school, we wanted to discuss some of those issues that are the forefront of our minds as moms. You know, I think that a lot of the times we have concerns when our kids are making transitions into new grades, into new schools. The beginning of school really does bring with it a lot of stress, and we don't want to project that onto our kids, and we certainly want to help alleviate them of their stress. And today we have with us an expert who's going to help with that. Her name is Christy Hoffman. She's a published author of Total Package Girl. It's a best-selling teen social issues book, and she's researched teen issues and mentored girls for more than 20 years as a volunteer for Girl Scouts of the USA, and she's a PBS TV media personality. She's a businesswoman, and I think that there's a lot to be gained from looking at this back to school issue from the standpoint of a young girl who is facing a really different time in her life, and being there to support her in that way. So, thank you so much for being here, Christy.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, we were talking before we got on the air about the fact that I'm also a Girl Scout troop leader, so go Girl Scouts.
Yay, go girls.
And one of the main reasons actually why I got talked into it by one of my best friends, and one of the main reasons why I decided it was something positive that I did want to devote my time to, even though I didn't feel like I had enough time to do it, was because of exactly this point, the self-esteem that I know that Girl Scouts brings to the table. You know, they address these issues in such a positive way, and they help build girls up. And that was something that I could get behind, and I really did want to be a part of. And I want to ask you, coming from that place, what made you want to write Total Package Girl?
Well, first of all, I commend you for the volunteer work that you're doing with the Girl Scouts. It is so important for girls to have role models, and you certainly are a great one.
Thank you.
I think that is the seed that was planted in me was when I started volunteering with Girl Scouts way back when, I realized that girls do need mentors, and they need a little bit of a playbook, if you will, on how to navigate some of the tricky situations that they're going to encounter throughout their lives, whether it's elementary school, junior high, high school, onward into college and then the workforce. And I think it's really important that they know that life isn't always rosy, and there are going to be some difficult challenges. So transitions are tough. As you said earlier, getting them back into school and kind of going through and navigating transitions is really one of those moments in time that girls need to take a look at a book and go, oh my gosh, I am not doing anything wrong. It's not me. This is just sort of how it is. And then kind of having a playbook to go by. And that's what I hope Total Package Girl is for girls.
I think that's fantastic. I think it's so important that we have something like that, because I do feel like sometimes, we are, because times have changed so rapidly, and, we're dealing with things like social media and selfies and, things that nobody's got any precedent for dealing with before. We do need some type of playbook, and we do need some kind of guidance on how to look at these issues and address them and figure them out in a collaborative way, as a community of moms, and try to really make sure that we're lifting our kids up in a way that's effective. Now, I want to ask you about when we're going back to school, are there certain red flags that we want to look for with our kids that kind of are signs that they might be dealing with some kind of, stress about with their self-esteem?
Most definitely. I think, first of all, as we just talked a little bit about, it's a very, very tough time. It's exciting to get back into the school year, but particularly if our kids are going from, let's say, elementary school to junior high to high school, there are so many new hurdles that they're going to be facing, whether that is, hanging out with older kids now, trying to fit in with peer pressure and choices. So I think some of the signs that we want to look for with our daughters and our sons, for that matter, is truly, are they worrying? Are they fretting? Do you see sort of a withdrawing? of them in terms of not wanting to talk much, not wanting to do much, not wanting to go to school, and start to look for signs of behavioral changes, maybe increased drama, if you will, some of those things that show there's more crying, there are more episodes where they just don't want to, don't feel like they're fitting in, or they don't want to get involved in a particular club that perhaps in the past they've wanted to be involved in. Those are some of the signs that are sort of differences in what you know your child to, and who you know your child to be.
Absolutely. We're going to come back with more right after the break. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are speaking with Christy Hoffman. She is the published author of Total Package Girl, and we're talking about different red flags that you might see in your child as they're making the transition back to school. And you had talked about before the break, you might be seeing increased crying. You might see your child worrying. You might see them withdrawing and not necessarily talking so much, being as talkative as they normally are. Maybe, you know, some emotional episodes. And these are signs that, you know, that we may need to address some kind of self-esteem issue, or, you know, the fact that they are taking on some stress with the transition. So let's take maybe the age range from like 11 to 17. Mm-hmm. You've got kids who are in that middle school, high school area. How do you approach that? If your child's not being communicative and they don't seem like they want to talk to you, how do you break that? How do you break through to them?
Well, I think first of all, just talking about their day, opening up a dialogue with them, finding that particular time of day that works best. For me, it happens to be when I drive the kids to school in the morning. I have the luxury of 5 to 10 minutes in the car with them, and also picking them up from school. Is there a time where you can say, how is your day? How is it going? What do you think? And sort of taking cues from them at those very opportune moments. Perhaps it's at nighttime when they're going to bed, having a moment in time to say, hey, tell me about your day. How do you like your teachers? How do you like your new environment? What do you think? Where's your locker located? Just things like that that can draw them in a little bit more and start to highlight topics like peers. Who are they hanging out with? Choices that they're making. What are they doing after school? Where are they going at lunchtime if they have opportunities to go outside or hang out in the cafeteria? Start to kind of probe a little bit more as it relates to friendships, as it relates to peers, and who they're hanging out with is really important. And also tuning into what their interests are. How are they liking school? How are they doing in school thus far? You know, sort of how are they kind of diving into the school year? And those are all really good topics to talk about and to just start to get the dialogue going. And you, as the parent, as the mom, can say, okay, that's a little bit of a just doesn't look right to me. You know, sort of like highlight a certain area that doesn't sound quite right to you.
I like it. Now, in the book, you talk about you've got these 5 secret weapons that you've developed to help teach girls to build their key skills for life. Now, let's talk about that. What was the cornerstone for you deciding that these 5 secret weapons, you know, were something that was going to work for girls?
Well, 20 years of working with Girl Scouts, I've honed in on some of the key areas that clearly are, they're tough times for girls. Specifically talking about friendships and true blue friends and trying to teach our daughters how to navigate that world and discern what a true friend is, whether it's someone who's going to kind of throw you under the bus or someone who's really going to pay attention and stand by you. That's one that is very clearly a secret weapon, if you will, and something that I think is really, really significant. Also teaching girls about self-esteem and loving themselves, that is a tricky one. Sometimes, I'll be honest, I think peer pressure to not like yourself is actually huge for girls. You're
really?
Supposed to say things. Yes, you're supposed to say things like, oh, I don't like my hair. Oh, I don't like my thighs. I don't like, there's sort of this, they're feeding off of each other in negativity. So teaching your daughters to be positive, say positive comments, no negative self-talk, that's really important. And getting them at a young age where they feel, our daughters feel like they can look in a mirror and say, I look pretty darn great, and I'm amazing who I am, you know, just sort of giving, not, I'm not talking about egotistical, I'm talking about a positive self-worth and feeling
no,
good about
I love
who
that.
We are.
Yeah, it's important because they, because it's something that, you know, once you head down the wrong path, it's hard to right the ship, you know,
oh,
so you
so
want
true.
To, like you said, you want to start at a young age and have that positive self-talk happening so that when inevitably, you know, it, out in the world, some kind of negative talk happens, they are already coming from a place that's above it.
That's so true. And you hear that all the time, especially as we talked about in these transitions from, say, junior high to high school. You might have high schoolers who are picking on the new freshmen or, you know, the new SEVIs, as they call the seventh graders, or whatever it might be. I mean, you might have some of that going on. So if you're, as you just said, too, as your daughters start to hear those terms, they already know they're pretty darn awesome on the inside and as well on the outside. And they can begin by knowing who they are and realizing this is basically just sort of rhetorical commentary that is required by the upperclassmen to the lowerclassmen or the underclassmen.
A part of that whole little world that, you know,
that,
and it seems as though, you know, the basics of that whole little world haven't changed so much. It's more of the, you know, the insertion of the cyberbullying and the, you know, the things that we didn't have, you know, but the body image and the confidence and all of that, that's all, you know, that's been there for quite some time. And those are issues that, you know, that are kind of the same as what we dealt with as kids. But we're going to come back with more with Christy Hoffman right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host. You're listening to Working Mother Radio.
Don't be a wantrepreneur. If you're ready to become an entrepreneur, Benetrends Financial can help. Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies help real entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically so you can finally purchase that business of your dreams. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends Financial, funding for the life of your business.
You are listening to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we have been having a great conversation today with Christy Hoffman. She is the author of Total Package Girl. And, you know, what really drives Christy is working with girls on their self-esteem and their confidence and making sure that they understand their worth and that they are awesome on the inside and the outside. And I think that that's an incredible mission. And I so appreciate you coming and taking the time to talk with us about it today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much.
Now, if our listeners want to buy your book or follow you on social media or visit your website, where can they go?
Our website is totalpackagegirl.com. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Let's see here. We are at Total Package Global and Total PKG Girl on Twitter. So we can be found there, and we look for dialogue. By the way, I didn't share this earlier. We have an app, Total Package Lifestyle smartphone app, and you can get girls and women can and moms can get daily inspirational mantras and quotes, and they can check out the Total Package Lifestyle app in the smartphone stores. So that's pretty fun, too.
I love that. That's fantastic. That's
yes, we've been having fun
idea.
With that. It's sort of
I'm
like
sure.
The whole Total Package Girl thing has been an array of products that just build self-esteem and leadership skills and confidence, and that's the goal. Don't we all want our girls to be strong and confident and grow up feeling good about themselves?
We do. I just picked up my cell phone, and I'm looking at the App Store, and I'm going for it.
Yay!
I want
so
my daily
thrilled.
Mantra. I think that's fantastic. You know, I think having something like that at your fingertips that gives you that kind of that daily reminder to think about this subject and to think about, you know, how can I uplift my daughter today? You know, I love that, you know, because we get so caught up in life and all the different things we have going on. And, you know, sometimes the relationships, you know, that we have with our kids can be more work sometimes more than others. And it's nice to have little reminders like that to keep you focused on what's important, and develop the development of your daughter's self-esteem is something that's extremely important.
So let's
talk about going back to the back to school thing. Let's talk about the online portion of it, because we haven't really discussed social media and cyberbullying and things like that. I think one of the biggest concerns that a lot of moms that I talk to have is, how do I know that it's happening? Because my daughter is not necessarily telling me everything.
Well, you know, for starters, you do have to be a little bit nosy. You do have to probe. You've got to watch the texts coming in on your kids' phones. You know, we do this wonderful thing so that we can find our children, and we give them smartphones and cell phones. While that could be helpful to locate our kids, have them give us a call and let us know that they've reached the, you know, a certain friend's house on their bicycles or whatever it may be, it's also kind of a double-edged sword, because all of a sudden you have given them access to everything. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have, if you put parental controls on your child's phone, let's just say, somebody else might not have. So if they're in a group, they can access pretty much anything. So we have to understand that that's where we're starting from, is that our kids can see everything on Instagram. They can see all kinds of things on the internet. I mean, let's just make an assumption that our kids are seeing more than we probably saw as we were growing up. So given that, you need to for sure have what I would call even a contract with your kids and say, you will not do these things on Instagram. You're going to have a dialogue. You can assume they're seeing it. Whether or not they're participating, I don't know. I think you can have that conversation of never, ever send, you know, inappropriate selfies. That's a given. Like, we do not do that.
That's a huge one.
It's huge. And it happens all the time.
Some people assume that it goes without saying. It doesn't. You have to have that conversation. As much as you may not want to, you need to have it.
Yes, you're so right. And I think that what you just said is critical. I travel across the country. I speak to thousands of parents and kids. And I tell them all of the time, parents in particular, that you can't sweep these issues under the rug and act like they're not happening. You have to face it, even though, and would you rather not know and have your child get in trouble? There's a recent case in the state of Ohio where there was a ring of boys who were collecting nude selfies from girls, and one of the boys in high school did jail time because they put it out on in a Dropbox, and it was accessed by everyone.
Wow.
So now these girls are out there in their, you know, in these selfies, and you can't take it back. And so, as we said, we as parents have to be diligent. We have to have those tough conversations, and don't be afraid to have them. I think sometimes kids are actually amazed that their parents know what they know.
It never hurts to shock your child with what you know.
Just throw out terms like Snapchat story and Instagram post and things like that, or the kids will be like, whoa, they know about the Snapchat stories I'm doing? You know, so those are the kinds of things.
Shocked my four-year-old son the other day with what I knew about the Power Rangers, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm like, oh, these are such fleeting times.
It's a relatability factor, too, though. They know that you know what's going on. And there's something to be said about the credibility with you and your kids. And they know that you're not going to just let them, you know, kind of run rampant with the cell phone or the internet or the social media, that you're checking in with them once in a while.
Yeah, I like that. Now, at what age do you think that these conversations begin?
Oh, gosh. Well, when you're talking about self-esteem and some of the body image issues, those conversations, you know, girls are losing their self-esteem as early as 9 to 10 years of age. I think that is the same age that you can start talking to them about using the internet appropriately. I mean, there are a lot of these, many, many of our children have iPads, and if they don't have cell phones and smartphones, they do have iPads or computers or laptops, what have you. So I think the age of 8, 9, 10, just being smart and sort of, you know how to gauge the words that you use. I mean, certainly some words are a little too strong for an 8-year-old, but, right. You know, but starting to steer them in the direction of making positive, smart choices by using their smart brains. Those are the kinds of terms that works for them.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Christy. It has been such a pleasure having you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
And go download your Total Package Girl app. I just did.
And they can get the book on Amazon.com, too. It's Total
Absolutely.
Package Lifestyle app. And then the girl book is on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and Books and Books.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm Bettina Bush, your host.
You're
listening to Working Mother Radio, and we'll be back with more after this.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join, so even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we're going to continue this conversation about getting back to school and being prepared properly with our kids, making sure that they have the tools they need to not only survive but thrive in their new environment. You know, whether they're going to a new school, coming back to the old school but in a different grade, you know, they're can be stress triggers for kids when it comes to returning to school and coming off of that summer vacation. We want to make sure we stay ahead of these issues with our kids, and we're able to nip things in the bud if we see any kind of worrisome behaviors, any specific changes in what's going on with them. And one of the things that we've been noticing a lot of moms are concerned about, and we wanted to make sure we address this, is bullying. It comes up a lot. We get it all the time. You know, what are the tools that I need to combat bullying at school, on the playground, you know, for every age? You know, we get it, questions from moms of preschoolers all the way up to moms from, you know, high schoolers going into college. It really is something that we're all worried about. So we brought in some experts today to talk to us about preparing for back to school and what bullying is all about and how we can keep our kids not only from being bullied but from becoming bullies themselves. And here today with us is child psychologist Dr. Brian Johnson and physician Dr. Lori Burdahl. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk about, you have a book, it's called Warning Signs, How to Protect Your Kids from Becoming Victims or Perpetrators of Violence and Aggression. Now, what made you decide that this was something that you wanted to tackle?
I think it mostly had to do with raising our own children in a time when we saw increasing aggression and violence in our society and in our world. And we saw our children getting more anxious about things and their friends also. And then we just noticed that, hey, a book hadn't been written yet, really, you know, exclusively about all the different kinds of violence and aggression that affect our children and how parents can really practically recognize warning signs of danger and then intervene, including how to talk to your kids. Even though you may get the eye roll, you still can, you know, present things in ways that kids will be much more likely to listen and want your advice and accept it and basically tell you what's going on in their lives. So you can help teach them to protect themselves too.
You know, I'd like to talk to you about, because this came up in my household the other day. It seems as though the word bully has become a bit overused, a bit over-applied. And I feel mm-hmm. as though, you know, you want to make your children aware of bullying and what it is and you know, what is acceptable and what's not. But I feel as though we really do need to define what bullying is so that we're super clear on, you know, the fact that not every little interaction that goes negatively with a child means that it's a bully victim situation. So can we talk about just the definition of bullying and what you guys see as what bullying is versus, you know, just difficult interactions between children?
Sure. So I'll start. So basically, you are absolutely right. There's a lot of misperception. Sometimes parents think, oh, my kid had a fight with some kid at school, so, and that kid started it, so it must have been bullying, you know. Not necessarily. So there's three parts to the definition, basically, of bullying. One is a power imbalance. For bullying to really be occurring, it needs to be someone who's perceived as being more powerful, either socially or physically, targeting a victim and trying to, you know, intentionally trying to harm them or cause distress.
And then the victim, another one is the victim wants the behavior to stop. So they're not joking around, they're not playing around, the victim is in distress by the activity. Is another factor. Bullying can also be both verbal, face-to-face, and it can also be through social media, cyberbullying. And the intent of the bully is to damage friendships and physically harm children or inflict social harm on kids.
And while it's often repeated over time, that used to be kind of part of the definition, there can be one really bad episode of harming a child intentionally that still qualifies as bullying, basically. And so if you have roughhousing between two kids who both are willing participants, or even a fight, you know, that we're both, you know, are not afraid or feeling threatened, and there's no power imbalance, it really isn't bullying. And also, preschoolers, they're really not developmentally able to control their aggression. So that really, you know, bullying is really not a term that should apply to preschoolers. They're just too young to be able to decide intentionally to harm someone in a way that they could otherwise control, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. Thank you for clearing that up. I think that's very important that we understand that definition, because that inequality, I think, is a huge factor that comes into play there. And I don't think that's always pointed out. So let's talk about then, at what ages do, you know, you're saying preschoolers are not quite, you know, they're not quite developmentally there for bullying. At what ages do we see bullying start to become an issue?
I mean, it can become it is an issue in elementary school, but there appears to be peaks in bullying activity when there are changes in the school system. So when kids go from elementary school to middle school, there appears to be a relative peak in bullying. And then when kids go from middle school to high school, there again appears to be a peak. And definitely middle school appears to be one of the key times, at least for physical bullying and more aggressive bullying. Then it often turns into more relational bullying, spreading rumors and gossip as kids get older.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that those transitional years were a place where you see the peak.
Hmm. Yeah, and sometimes
changing schools. Why is that?
What's that?
Why is that?
Well, I think part of the reason is that when kids go into a new environment, they have to reestablish a social hierarchy. And so because some kids learn how to use aggression in order to demonstrate dominance, that's how they try to do it. And so when kids are going into a new school system or moving into a new grade, that's frequently how it starts to escalate. And then also, kids who are bullied have some common characteristics as well. I mean, they're often perceived either being physically or socially weaker. They are often perceived as not being as self-confident and having, you know, lower self-esteem than other kids. So typically bullies try to pick on someone who they don't really feel is a threat to them.
Okay. All right, we're going to come back with more right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and you're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are continuing our back-to-school episode talking about bullying and how to identify it and what really defining it, understanding what it is, and then how do we deal with it. So before the break, we were talking with Dr. Johnson and Dr. Berdahl, and thank you again so much for being here with us today. They're the authors of Warning Signs, How to Protect Your Kids from Becoming Victims or Perpetrators of Violence and Aggression. And before the break, we were talking about the fact that you see bullying peaking around that middle school time and also during transitions from elementary school to middle school and from middle school to high school. And that's because social hierarchies have to be reestablished amongst the kids, which makes a lot of sense.
And you also were saying that, that bullies tend to identify their victims as kids who tend to be weaker in the groups or demonstrate lower self-esteem. Now, my question would be, if you do have a child with lower self-esteem or who seems, you know, have weaker physical characteristics or, you know, whatever the case may be, and they're feeling insecure, it seems to me like it would be very hard to get them to talk to you about the fact that they are being bullied. So how, let's talk about opening the dialogue with our kids how we find out that something's going wrong on both sides.
That's a great point. So, and I also just wanted to add that not only do bullies tend to pick on kids they see as a better target because they're weaker, but just basically anyone who's different from, you know, in terms of religion or race or socioeconomic status or interests or whatever. So it's not just weakness, but it's difference or disability. But, yeah, how do you start that conversation? Great point. So basically we recommend that you have a talk with all your kids before the school year starts about bullying. And so this happens even before you suspect it could be happening. And that's the best way to make sure that kids will be coming to you if it does happen. So you've opened up that line of communication already. And we just recommend a simple question and pick a relaxed time. You know, we're not much is happening. The TV's off, you know. And you might be in the car or whatever. And just say, hey, you know, I know that there is a lot of bullying going on, and you know, so I just wanted to see what you know about that. What do you know about what bullying is? And then see what they say, praise them for what they know, add to their knowledge, you know, give them that definition, and then make it very clear to them that bullying is never okay. It's never the victim's fault. So this is generically, you know, and that you definitely want to know if it happens to them.
Yeah, and about 80% of all bullying occurs in front of an audience, in front of other kids. And so it's very possible that your child may not actually be the one that's being targeted, but they know the person who is. And so being able to talk to your kids also about what to do, what kinds of things they can do when they see anyone, not just themselves, but anyone being bullied. Some of the more successful anti-bullying intervention programs actually focus on bystanders as well and get bystanders to intervene and to say something to decrease the likelihood that bullying will continue.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you said that because that was what I was going to ask. Because I think that in a lot of cases, kids see things and they're somewhat paralyzed because they don't know how to handle it or what to do. We need to arm them with that knowledge as well. So what do we need to tell those? What do we need to tell our kids? If you do see this happening, what do they do?
Yeah, that's a lot of times kids are reluctant to say anything because they're afraid that the bully will then focus on them.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, helping kids at least in the moment temporarily say, hey, I think I hear a teacher coming if it's happening at school, or I heard someone going to the principal's office, doing anything to stop it in the moment becomes important. And then also helping the kids say things like that can help to distract or can distract the attention of the bully, saying things like, yeah, I'm a wimp, yeah, I'm pretty short, but I'm working on it. Those kinds of things to try to help de-escalate the situation as a bully is trying to get things to escalate for their benefit.
And just as a bystander, just your presence, your silent presence by someone being bullied without laughing, without reinforcing the bully's behavior, looking into their eyes, you know, kind of indicating, hey, I'm watching this, and standing by that child can be helpful. Or saying, hey, I think the teacher wants to talk to us, and getting the child to stand by an adult.
Yeah, yeah, and letting the bully know that what's happening here isn't cool. This isn't, you know, something that people are admiring in them. One of the things that bullies often, one of the assumptions bullies often make is that they're far more popular than they usually are in the school. And so bullies think that this sort of activity actually increases their status where it really doesn't.
Yeah, and there are a number of things that you know, if you feel like it's happening to your kids, and we list a bunch of warning signs in the book, there are definitely things that you can suggest to your child to try before you, you know, run in and say, hey, you know, this needs to stop immediately. which you might end up doing. But at first, it's really important to give a bullied child a sense of control over what's happening, because oftentimes they won't, or they'll be afraid to tell because they think it'll make it worse.
Mm-hmm. So how do you give them that sense of control?
Yeah. So you say to them, hey, if it ever does happen to you, or if you find out it's happening, say, okay, this isn't okay. You don't deserve this, and I'm going to help you stop this. You're just a kid. You can't be expected to stop it alone, but I want you to be, make a plan with me so that we can together stop this, and I want you to feel comfortable with what we plan. And so you're kind of making them, giving them ideas. What would make you feel more safe? What do you think might help you feel better or stop this? And listen to them.
Make it a collaborative plan. I like that.
Exactly.
We're going to be back with more right after this. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and you're listening to Working Mother Radio. Stay with us.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
You are listening to Working Mother Radio. I'm Bettina Bush, your host, and we are talking about bullying with Dr. Johnson and Dr. Burdahl, authors of Warning Signs, How to Protect Your Kids from Becoming Victims of Perpetrators of Violence and Aggression. And before we continue our conversation, I would like for you to share with our listeners where they can find your book and where they can find you on social media and online.
Yeah, so we're both on LinkedIn under our names. And then I'm on Facebook, just facebook.com/LoriBurdahl.author. And then we're our Warning Signs website, dedicated to the book, but also our prior book, Seven Skills for Parenting Success. And it's full of parenting resources and extensive research references for our work, is www.WarningSignsForParents.com. And there's a contact page there.
And the book is was released yesterday, and so it should be available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it should be available in a variety of other retailers.
Look at bookstores and online.
Getting you the information as it's becoming available. That's Working Mother, baby.
Good job.
So now I want to come back to, we were talking about how we talk to our victims and how we help to empower them and help them feel more in control of the situation by coming up with a collaborative plan to make them feel more safe and secure. Let's talk about, to me, it's very frightening if you were to discover that your child is the bully and how you address that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No parent. Well, actually, I'm going to correct myself there. There actually are parents who act in a manner that actually promotes bullying behaviors, especially kids who come from violent homes with domestic violence and who use aggressive conflict resolution. Those kids are likely to grow up just being modeled by adults who use aggression to get what they want, and so they're much more likely to be bullies. But outside of that, if it is a caring parent, because sometimes bullies do come from what people think are good homes where there aren't those problems, but basically bullies can just be bored, entitled kids.
And there are kids who are bullies, and then there are also another group of kids who bully, and they're also victims, and they're called the bully victims. And research actually suggests that that subcategory, those kids tend to have the worst outcomes among the various groups. And bully victims can be victimized at home by sibling bullying, something that often goes on and isn't often recognized by parents as actually equating to bullying. They just think it's, you know, siblings being siblings.
Mm-hmm. And that can be even more damaging than bullying by stranger, because, you know, home is where you should feel safe and cared for. And so it is something that parents, by the way, you know, need to pay a lot of attention to now, instead of just letting kids duke it out, or, you know, oh, they'll figure it out themselves. Actually, that can be really harmful if a child is actually getting bullied via the definition. But if you do find out your child is engaging in bullying, you want to basically, of course, find out what's happening in their lives. Is there something going on that you don't know about that is causing anger, causing, you know, this problematic behavior? And so open communication, of course. So not, you know, stomping down with punishment and saying, hey, you know, you are a bully. You say, I'm worried about you. What's going on in your life that you would treat people like this? I'm really worried. Let's figure this out. And then label the behaviors, not the kid. So saying something like, hey, when you hit or when you threaten someone to get what you want, that's bullying. And that's not okay. So you're making it clear. And if you continue to behave like that, you're going to have problems. And then explain to them what can happen to bullies, you know. Making sure that you're not using harsh discipline also, and that you're using consistent, you know, limits and consequences for other kinds of behaviors. And then showing that, you know, you are going to be actively involved until these behaviors are stopped, because you care, you know, about them.
Yeah, most bullies have other types of problems, and so it's oftentimes helping to intervene with those types of problems, whether it be academic underperformance or they feel very badly about themselves or whatever the case may be. And helping to address those within the bully also becomes a helpful place to start with an intervention.
Yeah. And then, you know, paying attention to how they have relationships with others. Maybe they have really poor social skills and just, you know, have no other way to, or they feel like they can't make friends, so they're going to pop themselves up, because a lot of, especially middle school bullies, get a lot of positive attention, unfortunately. So teaching relationship building and conflict resolution skills, you know, can be really helpful, as well as empathy. Ask them, hey, how do you think Tommy felt when you did this, you know?
Yes, I think that that's a huge thing. I think empathy is highly underrated and undertaught and underemphasized, because I think that a lot, from what I can see, when you talk to a child and, you know, they start to see, yeah, you know what, it wouldn't be good to be that person. And I'm, you know, and I think that that's a huge part of it. I also liked something else that you said about, you know, let them know that, you know, you're going to stick with them through this, and you're going to be paying attention, and you're going to be helping them, you know, work through this behavior so that it doesn't continue. That consistency in parenting is huge.
And approaching it from concern rather than from a punitive perspective is incredibly helpful.
Yes, the way you framed that I thought was perfect. You know, it's not that I'm here to be your warden. I'm here to be, you know, to be here with you through this so that we can get you to a place where you're having healthy interactions. I think that's a very big deal. Thank you so much for being here. We've learned so much from you, and we very much appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us on the show. We really appreciate it.
And that's it for today. Thank you, our listeners, for being here with us every week. It's been our pleasure, as always. Don't forget to visit us at workingmother.com. We've got the latest and greatest up there for you. We're bringing you new articles, new videos, new everything every day. So every day it's different. So please come on board and check us out. And as always, if you have anything that you want to hear, see, listen to from me, I am more than happy to bring it to you. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Bettina Bush, on Instagram at Bettina Bush Official. And I would love to find out what it is that you're enjoying and what it is that you want to hear more of. Don't forget, there's no way to be a perfect mom. There are a million ways to be a good one. Thanks so much for being here with us. We'll see you next week.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.